You, Ben, thank you very much for leading us through today. Now, I've been thinking about this a little bit. Initially, I wrote this, the way that I started this was, I wonder if someone can tell me what story we're talking about today, but I'd be a little bit worried if you had no idea, because it's here, it's been on the screen, it's been all over the place. If you don't know what story we're talking about, why did you come? Anyway, let's carry on. So the story of Noah. I've been doing a lot of research into this story this week, family. I've found these Bible studies that the Bible Project do. They do these classes, and there's this one class in particular which talks of all the way to from Noah to Abraham. And so I've spent about 10 hours this week, not all at work, but some at home, some while I've been doing things with the kids, just to really get this understanding. And family, this story, this whole section, Genesis 1 through 11, is huge. Yeah, it's hugely important to our understanding of the way the entire Bible is written. Yeah, it's huge, it's massive. The crazy thing about the story of Noah in particular is that almost every ancient civilization has a flood story. Did we know that today, family? Almost every ancient civilization has some form of flood story. Over 60 cultures worldwide have some version of the story of a flood in their history. It's no surprise that when I did a Google search about children's books, Noah's children's books, book after book after book, you could scroll for hours. There are thousands of these books that exist, these Noah's Ark books. And then beyond that, general flood books, there's even some that exist that aren't really for children, and they're the true story, and they talk more about the fact that actually people died and all of that kind of stuff. But there's all these books about Noah's story. There's even been some movies. Before we put it up there, can anyone name the movies? Or has it already gone up there? Okay, it's already gone up there. What I discovered this week is the story of Noah, that movie that they did. The person who directed that wanted to direct it based on the oral tradition of the story. And so that's why sometimes that movie can come across as a little bit weird and a little bit strange. It's because it's actually more related to the oral tradition than the actual biblical tradition, the Hebrew Bible version of it. And then you've got Evan Almighty. Who doesn't love and enjoy that? It's a little bit of fun, eh? Apparently it flopped at the movies. I checked that the other day. It did not do well at the movies. But it's, you know, it's a little bit of a fun movie to watch. Even if you haven't grown up in the church, you've likely heard of the story either through one of those or through the many facets that this story comes through. Family, it can be so easy for us to overlook this story at times and just assume, yeah, God wiped out everyone. He reset because everyone was so bad on the planet. We can kind of minimize this story to its minimal elements. And it's easy for us to turn God into a bad guy when we look at this story at face value. At times we can see him as a horrible creator through this story who doesn't care for us, and that can come across as counter to the rest of the story that we talk about in terms of God and Jesus and the way that he loves and cares for his creation. Family, this story is huge, and there is no way that I can cover everything here today. It's part of this massive narrative that we work through. So today I'm going to do my best and to show us all that the lesson through Noah's story is ultimately that God wants to renew us by his grace. Yeah? God wants to renew us by his grace. Sorry. The understanding of this story actually started last week. Yeah? Did we get that? The understanding of this story started last week. Was anyone here last week? Yep. And we heard Jordan bring... Now, I wasn't here, but I did listen to his sermon, and he brought an awesome word about the fall, yeah, and how God's grace was present in that space. So let's kick off, and we'll have a quick recap of some of the points that Jordan made. Can anyone remind me of the movie or TV or storytelling tool that Jordan described at the beginning of his sermon? No? Lucy? No? Foreshadowing? foreshadowing, the story idea, foreshadowing. Yeah? Do we remember that? Do we know what foreshadowing is? Yes, it's an object, or it's something that's part of the story that's present at the beginning of the story that becomes really relevant later on, yeah? It's something that's often not, it's not overly described and it's not overly noticed. It's put there not to be noticed, but it becomes crucial later on, yeah? So we remember that idea of foreshadowing. And Jordan spoke last week about the idea of Genesis being essential to our understanding and our ability to read and understand and read the rest of the Bible as well, yeah? So the understanding of these stories is crucial to our understanding of stories of Jesus, yeah? Even that far through. Genesis is a foreshadowing of everything that is to come. Jordan also mentioned two ideas. They were two words that had the same starting letter. Can we remember these? Oh, I thought he did so well, I remembered them. He did two really good points, yeah? God's promise, yes, that is one of them, and God's provision. Yeah, God's provision and God's promise. We got there. That's really good. This is really good. Well done. So God's promise and God's provision. And actually today we're going to jump into a few of those ideas as we go as well, because God's promise and God's provision is very present in Noah's story. So what I want to also do today is actually take a little bit of time just to bridge the gap between the story of the fall and the story of Noah. So you could look at those three chapters and think there's not a lot in there, but a lot does happen between the story of the fall and the story of Noah. 10 generations have passed in that time. Did we know that? 10 generations have passed in that time. We've had the story of Cain and Abel, where Cain has killed his brother. These are gruesome stories at times, aren't they? They're gruesome stories, but Cain has killed his brother, and he's further taken away from God. So he's not just exiled from Eden, he's further taken away from God, further out. And but one of the things we often miss in that story, so he's sent further out into exile, but in Genesis 4:15, it says this, "But the Lord said to him, 'Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over.' Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him." So we understand that while Cain did something bad, he was exiled further, yes, but God actually put a mark of protection on him. Yeah? That's actually quite a huge thing, because Cain's done something really, really wrong, but our Creator, who could have at that point just gone, "Nope, that's it, we're done," he put a mark of protection on him. See, family, this is one of the themes in Genesis. Humanity is constantly letting God down as they journey. God at times is allowing us to be submitted to the consequences of our actions. He is at times allowing that. But at moments, he's blessing people as well. And he's providing them with protection and blessing and provision. So Abel has passed on. Cain then goes off and establishes a city. This city ends up being subject to death and destruction. Yeah? It's a horrible city, not the kind of place you want to be. Now I have another question. Cain and Abel, did you know that they have another brother? Yeah? Cain and Abel have another brother. Do we know who that is? Seth. Yeah, Seth. And after the story of Seth's birth, we have a genealogy which covers those 10 generations that we're talking about from Adam to Noah. And then, so Seth, son of Adam, then all the way down to Noah. So Noah is of the line of Seth. Can anyone tell me what Noah means? No? No? That's okay. I like the honesty, so we can move on. That's fine. Noah actually means comfort. Yeah, Noah means comfort. And the whole point of the story of Noah is that he's a comfort to God and he's a comfort to every generation to come. Yeah, he's a comfort. And like I said, Noah's story teaches us that God wants to renew us by his grace. All right. So as I said, we're going to continue on this theme of provision and promise, yeah? We're going to continue on this theme of provision and promise. But the things that stood out to me a little bit more over and above that this week, and they're going to be intertwined into these two ideas, was that Noah's, while God was providing and making promises to Noah, Noah was bringing praise and worship up to God. So we've got provision, promise, and praise. So let's start with God's provision in this story. As the story of the ark begins, we have God giving instructions to Noah. We are told Noah is a righteous man, but the only way we can see this, that he's a righteous man, we're not given his history as a righteous man. The only way we can see this is in his response to what God asks of him. God tells Noah this crazy thing, this crazy idea that he has. I need you to build an ark. If God came and told you that you needed to build an ark, you would think it was nuts, right? It was crazy back then, it's crazy now, it's the craziest thing that any of us have ever heard and probably ever will hear. And actually, the response that we probably all would have given to that is the same as Evan Baxter in Evan Almighty. He's upset the whole time. He's fighting it. He's growing this beard and the long hair and he's shaving it off. And, you know, he's trying to get out of this thing the whole time. But have we ever taken the time to notice what Noah's response was to this crazy idea? Genesis 7:5, it says, "And Noah did all that the Lord commanded." There's no emotion in that. There's no, I'm upset about this. There's nothing, simply obedience. And family, this is Noah's act of worship and praise. He says, God says jump, he says how high, you know? It's that kind of thing. He's there, he's ready, even though this is the craziest thing he's ever heard. He says, okay, let's do this. And then God provides a way. He tells him how. He provides him with everything he needs. And they put the ark together. God didn't just hand out a crazy idea to Noah and expect him to put it into action. He gave him all the tools and everything he needed to equip him to move forward. Family, I know in my life when God has asked me to start a new ministry or to become part of a new ministry, I've always been a little bit apprehensive, and I'm sure we've all felt that at times. You know, God's prompting us going, oh, I need you to move into this, and we know it. We know there's something that he's calling us to, and we always feel that little bit of apprehension. When I was in my 20s, my very early 20s, I think I was 19, 20, God challenged me to move out of home for the first time. I was living in Wellington and move all the way to Whangarei, yeah, to become a youth worker. Now that has its complications. You know, firstly, I'm a youth worker. I'm not going to have a lot of money. How the heck am I going to survive on a youth worker's salary away from home? There's a lot in there that I processed and worked through, but in the end, it's not as crazy as an ark. So I said, yes, let's go for this. Let's try this out. When I arrived in Whangarei, there was no youth group to be spoken of. The core family members had primary school age kids, so they weren't quite ready for youth events, but they wanted a youth worker nonetheless. Within 3 months of being in Whangarei, there was a youth group of 12 young people who weren't, there was a youth group that we ran, but the main thing we ran was a Bible study. And these 12 young people came and joined the Bible study within 3 months of me arriving. That's not me. It's not me by any means. That is God working through a situation, equipping people with the right things and giving people a space to grow and learn and feel safe. Yeah? Within 2 years, that group became about 20. Yeah? Doesn't take long for God to work when he's putting you in the place and providing you everything you need to get by. Family, God provided for Noah, and he's provided for us in the past when we start new ministries. He always helps those who are willing to step out in ministry and do what God is calling them to do. So what does that say to us this morning? As we give praise and honour to God through worship, through our obedience, what are the crazy ideas that God has in store for each one of us here at Miramar? Now that might make some of you a little bit anxious, but I hope that for a number of you that makes you a little bit excited. Yeah? What's God going to do through me in this place? Yeah? What's God going to do through this, a Christmas event that we've got coming up? Yeah? What's going to happen in this place as people come in and are introduced to their Saviour? Maybe for the first time, maybe for the 80th time. Yeah? Whatever those things are that God is calling us to, whatever these crazy ideas are, he will provide a way. Yeah? God's provision through one man's praise and worship, and God makes a promise. As the story continues, Noah, our righteous man, our comforter, becomes God's only way to be able to renew the world. The world described in Genesis 6 is a wicked and broken. It's wicked and broken. There's bloodshed, and if you look deeper into a number of the stories, every time blood is shed and falls on the land, it calls out to God, yeah? God grieves the blood. He can feel blood in this creation, and he is grieved. The city of Cain, this is where this city has come out of. It's Cain's city. It is broken. It is busted. It is horrible, yeah? Family, I know a number of you may have wanted me to touch on the sons of God and the Nephilim. Yeah, we've all seen those kind of in that part of Genesis, have we? Yep. So some people think that the Nephilim might be angels. I tend to go down the track of it talks about the Nephilim and then it says that they are warriors. Yeah, they are Gibor, that's the Hebrew, Gibor, which means that actually they may not have actually been sons of angels. They were just those people who were known as warriors and, you know, those people that go in and win those fights and they've won many battles. And so Gibor were people who were known for, and Nephilim actually comes from, I can't remember the word, but it comes from a word that essentially means the fallen. So Nephilim, the fallen of the great warriors, yeah? So I won't touch too much more on that, but there are a number of things in there that we can get a bit hung up on at times. But the important thing to note is that what the writer of this story is trying to tell us is that the world is very broken. The cities, everything is just in chaos. I mean, I say that and I think to myself, well, gosh, our world's a bit in chaos too, isn't it? But back then it was in chaos. And God felt like he had no other option. And as God was looking at this world, he could only see it turn itself into ruin. So they were going to kill each other anyway. Something was going to go wrong by their actions. And so in essence, when we look at this story, what God is doing, he's not killing everyone in the world. He's actually accelerating a process which is already in play. Yeah? In some of these stories, when we look at them, God is often subjecting people to their own folly, yeah? In essence, that is what he is doing here. It can be a hard thing to reconcile, but death was going to come one way or another. God accelerated the process. God was aware that humanity would bring upon itself destruction, And he, yeah, and in a way, if you wanted to look at it in this way, this process was a process of mercy. It was relieving humanity early of that destruction. God showed mercy when he exiled Adam and Eve. Instead of killing them, God showed mercy to Cain by putting a mark of protection on them. God didn't entirely give up on humanity. He found comfort in one man, Noah, and he gave humanity a new chance. And this story is, in essence, a new creation story, a second creation story. God wants to renew us by his grace. The flood happens, Noah and his family and all of the animals are saved. As the flood subsides, they are eventually instructed to leave the ark. And family, what's the first thing Noah does as he gets off the ark? He builds an altar. He worships God. He brings praise, honor, and glory to God for what he has done. In response to this, God grants Noah and his family two promises. One, that he will never flood the world again. And two, he creates a covenant with Noah and his descendants. Family, this is where we always talk about Abraham's covenant, right? We always talk about Abraham's covenant. But the covenant actually began back here with Noah as well. And Abraham is a descendant of Noah. Not long after this story, we talked about the 10 generations between Adam and Noah. Not long after this story, there's another genealogy. And it's 10 generations between Noah and Abraham. And family, what is the shortest way in which we can describe the covenant with God and Abraham? It's blessed to bless. Yeah, God blesses his people so that they can then in turn bless others. Noah's family, Abraham's family, was blessed by God, renewed by his grace to share that with others in whatever way God called them to. God creates renewal in Noah's life so he can build this knowledge into all of humanity to come. Family, I just want to play a clip. I watched the movie with my kids just the other day, and it was a good reminder of a few things. But the thing that caught me out of that was the line, "Sounds like an opportunity." Yeah? Sounds like an opportunity. The world we live in is broken too. Yeah? The world described in this story is broken and there's bloodshed. Well, there's brokenness and bloodshed in our world too. Yeah? Yeah, every single day there is needless bloodshed, needless death. There is so much brokenness and so much going on. And God doesn't want to use this solution anymore. In fact, he's promised us he won't use this solution anymore. God hears our world crying out and he looks to his people to be his hands and feet. Family, it sounds like an opportunity. He looks to people willing to be obedient to him and step out in faith. So how do we as a family respond to this story? Well, what are the things that God wants us to enact his renewal in this world? How is he blessing us to enable us to bless others? Family, is there something we've been thinking about doing for God for ages? Something we've been contemplating? But we've just been a little bit too scared to step forward, to step out in faith. Maybe we've been worried about finding the resources we need. Or we're scared of what people might think of us if we do this thing. Maybe we've wanted to start a group with our peers, a Bible study, a hangout, a something, but we've got nowhere to host it because, you know, families, it's hard. Our houses are messy, right? Let's be fair, it's hard to keep a house tidy with kids in it. Well, there's a building right here. Just saying, we can use this building for stuff like that. Family, maybe you've been thinking of helping out at Kids Church, Stepping Stones, Toy Library, mainly music, but you're scared to make the commitment and you're not sure how to go about it. Well, for all of those, I can point you in the right direction if that's the way you're inclined. Family, these are just examples of things that are already happening in this space that we can do. But I know God will be prompting each one of us differently. But whatever he is prompting you to do, he will provide a way for you to do it. And he promises to keep and protect you as you take it on. Knowing whatever difficulty we face, as we enact God's plan, he will make a path through every challenge. God's promise to us is that we have been blessed in our lives to bless others. Family, as a response today, all I want to do is take a page out of Noah's book. At each moment, Noah gave praise and worship to God. So family, today we are going to offer up our praise and worship to our God. And I encourage us each one as we are praising to think of the things that God is calling us to. Family, I acknowledge that the things God may be calling you to are the things that you are already doing. Yeah? I'm very aware of that. But family, it may also be a challenge to step up and to start a new ministry. It may be a chance to step up and become part of another ministry that's already present here at Miramar. It may even be just to put your hand up for the Christmas event, yeah? Because we need everyone here as part of that. Whatever these things are, we know that God will use it as an opportunity to bless us and to bless others. Because God wants to renew us by his grace. Family, let's share a prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for the story of Noah. I want to thank you for the ways in which you provided for him. Lord, in the way, the example he set in his response, Lord, obedience to you. Lord, may we be obedient to you and your leading in our lives. Lord, we know that you also provided for him. You gave him everything he needed and you made a way through. And Lord, you promised to bless his family so that his family could bless other people. And Lord, we have been the recipients of that blessing as well. Lord, we are grateful for your son, Jesus. We are grateful that we have a way to access you on a daily basis. And God, we ask that you have your way in our lives. Lord, you lead, you guide us, you show us your provision along the way. And we would hold on to your promises daily. We pray all of this in Jesus' mighty and powerful name, knowing he will come through. Amen.